our body versus his body. Well, but you need your body. I'm going to show you this, that you need your body now, or you will be there, obviously. And so there must be a reason for you to need your body here, and that's what we're going to try to go through. In Romans 12:1, but what we have to do is we have to believe how he made that body in his realm, okay? In Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And, of course, that verse is a mouthful when you think about what he's saying here. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the mind is obviously in the physical body. So we have to check some relationships on this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What I want us to understand tonight would be, I'll go about this, body. That was not very dark. Soul and spirit. And I guess I shouldn't capitalize them, but it's fine. I do. Body, soul, and spirit making up a unit, like a unit being one person, okay? The oneness of us. We are body, soul, and spirit. We cannot function without these three together. If one of them leaves, then the body is dead. It's done. This, we'll look and see what it is in the scripture. We'll look at this, we'll look at this, and look at where each has a place to go and whatever, and what God has done for it. But it's one unit. It's a human. I guess we could say it that way. It's a human. Okay? This represents a human being. Right? Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. The in whom, in verse 4, is the lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, the believe not, obviously when you're born, and like I told him at the funeral, there are four distinctive things in a man's life. One is his birth. Now, you don't know when you're born, you're told that, and so you have a date. They tell you, you don't have a clue when you're young. Birth, all right. Marriage, and some people are sorry about that. And then children, and some people are sorry about that. And then death. Now, between this is life. That's your life. That's your physical living on the earth. But these four are noted things in a man's life, and when I say man, mankind, okay? So I'll also use that word as mankind. Sorry, ladies, I didn't say ladykind or womankind, but mankind, a representation of all. Mankind represents one unit, meaning body, soul, and spirit, how he exists. These are important in his life, birth, marriage, children, and death. Obviously, there's lots of other things important, but those things are, they stand out. We celebrate things like that and on and on. Happy is a man whose quiver is full when his children are born. He is to love his wife as his own self, on and on. Birth, we celebrate the birth. At my house, birthday is the only thing we do celebrate. We don't celebrate any holidays or anything. And then, obviously, everybody shows up at death. I mean, they come out of the woodwork for a funeral. I mean, people you ain't seen in 40 years come to a funeral to show up, whatever. And then they talk about the character like he was a nice guy. Most of the guys laying in that casket are just sorry outright individuals, but he looks fine. He's got embalming fluid in him, but he looks fine. He looks better than he did when he was alive. Well, that's compliments of a beautician, an embalmer, and a suit. I mean, they dress you up real nice. They dress up this, about here. Okay? Now, let's say Corinthians 4:4. In whom, that's the lost, the God's world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, at your birth, you can't believe because you don't even know. So you begin to live your life. Now, the object of God in your life is for you to be saved. That's His will. That's 1 Timothy 2:4. It's the will of God from this time, before this time, is for you to be saved. Now, if you hear the truth and receive it not, you're not saved. You have the provision for salvation for you. That's what we preach. It's the cross. But if you do not receive that, then you receive not the love of truth, then you're going into this right here. Right? Now, a believer is not going into death. He's going into life everlasting. He has this life, which is physical. But he's heading for life everlasting as a believer. And that's what we want to point out. Now, this is not your problem. This is your problem. Now think about it now. That's your problem. Because you're born after Adam, and you will come to this problem. And you didn't have a choice in this. So this is your problem. Everybody thinks that this is your problem. How you live. No. This is your problem, so it's going to end up with this. What God knows is this and this. He knows everything between. So what He did, this represents sins. This represents sin. You with me? And Jesus Christ was made sin for us, like this. And then He died for our sins, and then arose, and we were forgiven so we could have life. Now let's look at some things on this. Again, verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You'd think that everybody could catch it. I mean, when you talk to somebody, you think, oh, why can't you see this? Because they've probably been blinded, and there is something in them that keeps them from seeing it. Now, the individual that trusts this gospel, that He died for our sins, according to Scripture, was buried and rose again the third day, who has life waiting for him everlasting, also has another thing added to him. He has the spirit of the dear Son in him. It's his seal. We'll look at that in just a minute. So, he's got a fourth characteristic about him. He has to have these three to be doing this, living. He needs this to be life everlasting. I know it's simple, bear with me, but it makes sense, folks, as you read it scripture-wise. Now, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in what kind of vessel? It is an earthly vessel. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. And the reason of verse 7, that's before I go on. The treasure is earthen, in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. This is why He gave it to us this way. Even though we're still this unit and are saved, now if you're not saved, you're going to have trouble understanding this. Even though we're still as one unit alive physically, we still have the characteristics of this man right here. Okay? But in God's mind, we are holy and without blame before Him in love. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. The reasonable service you have is, because He counts you holy and without blame, you are as in service as you would present your body that way. Now, I want you to think. If I'm confessing sins, I'm not presenting my body holy and acceptable. It won't work. Because I'm still saying I'm bad. The hardest thing for a religious person to do is accept the fact that everything he's done is done. And you will never see it until you do. That is the man that did it. Paul did it. He said, in me first. He saw that everything he did as the heritage of a Jew was done. Religious people have taken the characteristics of Jews and tried to follow up with it as religious Gentiles, and they don't see what they're doing. They're blinded. Are you with me? All right, now, where did I tell you to turn? 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. If I get going too fast, slow me down, raise your hand, jump up, run around, holler. You kids can sit still. Because obviously I'm never fast enough for you because you want to go home. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. He said, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, is what? He was made of what? A what? Okay, so Adam was made a living soul. Okay? What was the second Adam? A quickening spirit, alright? So, the second Adam, and we know that the second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ. Both were created in the image of God by lies, right? It did not say that Adam's soul was created in the image of God. It said his body was. The genealogy of Matthew and the genealogy of Luke is the physical body. You know what I mean? You can't see a soul. Soul, brothers. You can't see when a man dies his soul leaving. You can't see the soul. You can see the twinkle in his eye leave, but that is also based on a spirit. We'll see all of this in the scripture in just a minute. So, was Adam created in the image of God? Was Jesus Christ's body created in the image of God? And God then indwelled in it. Okay? God's Son is God manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh. So, in that physical body that was made of a woman, Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman.
Are you saying that body, soul, and spirit...
That's a unit.
Yeah, that when Jesus Christ was born, He did not have that spirit of man. Is that what you're saying?
Well, look and see. I'll give you the verses. I'm not going to say, I'm going to let you read tonight and see what you think. All right? Now, is he man and God? Of course he is. But is he called the man Christ Jesus? Okay. To answer your verse question first before I read first. Well, we read enough. Did you see that Adam was a what? What does the verse say? A living soul. What was Jesus Christ? Go to Hebrews chapter 10. There's a running controversy about this up north right now. One said that somebody said, and one said that the other said, and back and forth. They're just arguing back and forth. Why don't they just read it and agree on the same thing? Hebrews chapter 10. I didn't say that, did I? Hebrews 10:3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. And I haven't got time to read all this, so you can read Hebrews 10. And it's, of course, it's about the priesthood, the Levites, and then it comes to another. All right, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Correct? Okay. Now, it was to be offered, but it wouldn't take it away. It would cover in the Old Testament. Now remember, before the cross, the law was the conscience of sin. After the cross, the conscience of sin is the spirit of the dear Son. You with me? The spirit of the dear son is always our leadership, and it deals with us. It compares things. It shows things. But we're not under the law. And that'll have to do with death, folks. Remember, death and hell are in the Bible. And they're not the same. They may be in the same place, but they're not the same. Death and hell deliver up those that are in them, souls that are in them. Okay? And them is plural. And if you look back here in the Old Testament, do you know why that death has enlarged herself? Because she was going to receive death after the cross. That is not wrong. You're like, what did he just say? Hell received death after the cross. The apostle didn't even talk about hell. Why? Hell was before the cross, death is after the cross, both in the same place, same in judgment, the lake of fire. They go to the same place. But he recounts them different so we can learn something about it, folks. You're not dying because of your sins. You're dying because of rejection of the love of the truth. Who paid for the sins of the world? Bang! And then God's not imputing trespasses unto them. Everybody okay? So in not imputing trespasses unto them, why couldn't they receive it? It's a gift. Because they get blinded. And the blinding is trying to keep them in death. Because he's the master of it. 1 Corinthians 15 said, "Oh death, where is thy sting?" Like he's talking to somebody physically. Like there's something exists. Death, death. Why? The man of sin is the man of death. Can I wake him up? All right, now watch. Hebrews 10:5. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a what?" What? A body. Okay? Now, what does it take for Jesus to die? I mean, you're going to share that. What does it take for him to die? There it is. "Father, into thy hands I commend." If you lose a spirit, you're dying. But he commended it. Galatians chapter 1. He gave himself for our sins. Willingly. He gave up his spirit so that the body would die. Where'd the soul go? That's where it went. He said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Right? Well, where'd the spirit go? It went up to the Father. He commended it. Okay? We'll look at some of that in just a minute. All right, verse 5 again. He said, "But a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast no pleasure." What if Jesus Christ would have offered up sacrifices for sins? How could he? He didn't have any. He gave what he had. What did you read the very first verse tonight? The only thing you can give to God right now is what? Your body is a living sacrifice. How? Holy? Are you dead? Talk. How is it? Holy and without blame. That's faith. You have to believe what God said about you and present it that way. You don't look it, and you don't act it. You have to give Him the praise and glory for what He did for you to make you that way. Okay? That's exactly right. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. People try all the time to get good enough to be acceptable with God. Well, what did they fail? I was at that funeral and I said, all your religious acts are nothing but dung. Got quiet in there. So there's not a good person in this room, there's not a just person, there's not one in here that sinneth not and doeth good. I said, let's just relax and let's think about something right now. So have you ever tried to clean up your act and something else come on you? And you know they know it. I said, why don't we, for the first time in our life, give credit to God that He knew what our life was like and that our problem was being born. I know a man who gave God the credit for being separated from his mother's womb. The Apostle Paul. He said, I thank God who separated me from my mother's womb. I think separating from his mother's womb, that brought him into life by birth. Did Paul live a sinless life? And God still called him. And he said he's a pattern. I never have seen Paul confess sins. It's in 13 letters. Viv? I seen him confess the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. I seen him confess the fact that he died for his sins. But I never seen him confess sins. Now watch. Colossians 2. Am I doing something wrong? Y'all going, Colossians 2, look with me in verse 20. Let's go to verse 18. He said, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. He didn't say rewards, by the way. He said reward. Okay? In a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now, by the way, do you have a fleshly mind? Do you have a carnal mind? Do they fight? They sure do. All right, verse 19. And not holding the head. I used an example one night. I said, have you ever seen a depressed person? They hold their head down. They're not holding the head good. All right? The head is to be held by the body, whether it's the one unit or the combined of all units that are in the one body. You see, by now I'm dealing with the human body, but all the humans that believe are in one body. That's a body of units. We can say it that way. They are to hold what up? Hold the head up. Don't let it fall down. Don't let it droop down. Hold it up. See, a lot of people got mad with Paul being bold and not being politically correct or anything like that. He's holding the body, the head up. All right, now watch. He said, not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increased in with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? I mean, I don't tell you a brain job, figure out that he's talking to the people, you do not have to hold ordinances as a way of life. Right? Watch. He said, touch not, taste not, handle not. That was what I was taught. You do that, God will get you. Well, there wouldn't be nobody here. There'd be God. Okay? He said, which all are to perish. Huh? I'll say it again. Which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. I will do that or I will not. That's will worship. I will do that or I will not. Will, that's why I call it will worship. Alright? We use it all the time. I will not. That's a will. Do you have a will? How many of you act like a heathen in certain situations? And in some certain situations, you don't act like a heathen. Some people try to put on a tux and be something they're not. The Turks is just a covering over the heathen.
Yeah.
That's all it is, folks. Now, some people think that they're not sinners. They ain't right. If you ask them, they'll say, it's like they're not sinners. Well, they're hiding it well, if that's the way they're doing it. He says, indeed have a show of wisdom and will worship. Why would you intentionally sin if you could will not to? Romans 7, that which I would, that do I not, but that which I would not, that's not an excuse chapter, that's a factual chapter. It's trying to show you, and then at the end he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul, in his, and if you want a confession, there it is, oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ that with the mind I serve the law of God, and with the members of the law of what? Sin and death. What is this thing going to do? What's this going to serve? So I present it, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. How do I do that? Well, let's check something. Psalm 51. Let's see why we would have to do it that way in Psalm 51. This is a tough verse, folks. I mean, it'll make you fuck up. Psalm 51, verse 4. Against thee and thee only, I apologize, against thee only, have I sinned. That's not the verse, but I want to read that first. You know what this evil that he thought he did in the eyes of the Lord was? Stole on his wife. Had the man killed. And you know what God did? He let him have him, let him have her as his wife. Cost him the first child. And then you know who was born him? Solomon and Nathan. Solomon, the king of Israel, and Nathan, the heritage of Mary. Hello? He stole that woman. Why did God just kill him? Because he's not an idolater. He never bowed his knee to an idol. Most religious people are bowing their knees to idols and don't even know what they're doing. Buildings, things, stuff, all the time and don't know it. But verse 5 is a curious one. Behold, I was shaping what? Oh, my Lord. When you were born, how were you shaped? Why did David steal that woman? He's in iniquity. Now, people, you know, they think about iniquity. They think of that idolatry and all that stuff. Don't you understand, folks, if you do one thing against the law, you're guilty of the condemnation of all of it? There had to be something that took the law out of the way. Or the condemnation is going to go in the world. So God took that out of the way. He nailed that for the cross. Took it away. He fulfilled it. Why? Jesus Christ fulfilled it. And he paid for the penalty of the breakers of the law with his death. Am I all right, you wink? Folks, if you never even show up, he paid the penalty of those that were under the law, breakers of the law. He became a curse and he paid the penalty of the law for them by dying. He was the legitimate lamb sacrifice for them. But God doesn't talk about a lamb for you. He talks about a man for you. A man that literally took your place because of what this unit was going to accomplish in the world and its life. All it was going to accomplish is sins. You with me? Now let's watch. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Was she having an affair? No. Whatever came forth out of her womb is going to be white. It don't matter who he is or what he is. When he comes out, what is he? He's shaping in iniquity, and he's coming out of sin. Wherefore, is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. First Adam was a what? A living soul, and that soul's body is iniquity. Are you all right? I'm not going to go fast. I want you to understand these things. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians 15 again. How do you know why they were looking at me at the funeral weird? Because they've always tried to clean up their act. The guy come up to me after, he said, in other words, I can just say anything I want, and God will forgive me. I said, no, you're already doing what you want, and God already has forgiven you. And he looked at me and he said, I know. Because he's heard me before. He's being a smart ass. He's being smart aleck. That's what he was being. And I said, your problem is you already are forgiven. You just may not want to receive it. That's the problem. You see, we've been molded, folded, and stapled and mutilated to think that we've got to clean up our act to deserve what Jesus Christ did. How in the world do you deserve what he did? Of course, you don't deserve what he did. It's a gift. It's grace. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15, again, verse 44. Oh, 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Correct? Okay. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Okay. And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Now, look with me in verse 40. In verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. What's the difference? Celestial is above the earth. Terrestrial is earth. That which belongs to the earth is terrestrial. You're terrestrial right now, and we've got a bunch of nuts in our space program that think we can get celestial. Yeah. Terrestrials need water, food, and sunlight. That's natural, folks. You know why people up north are sick? They don't have no sun. The sun goes down in September and don't come back till about April. And it's cold and it's miserable and cabin fever sets in, so what do? They just drink. Why not? Depressed. They get cabin fever. You need water, sunlight. You need those kind of things, folks. That's terrestrial. Celestial doesn't need a natural body. What did Jesus Christ lose to become celestial? Lost the blood. What would a terrestrial man need to be celestial? He shall change our vile bodies and fashion it like unto his glorious body. People are always trying to make you know, look, just like Jesus Christ. I have no idea whether you can prove that or not, that you will be like unto him without blood to live. You'll be able to go into space. You'll be able to go wherever he wants you to because you're no longer in need of blood, and that means you don't have to breathe air like the terrestrial. For the blood is what totes your air. Into the cells, into the lungs, into the heart. Are you with me, folks? It's a change. Adam probably was a little different than he was until he disobeyed. Something he ate made him real terrestrial, didn't it? Yeah. Something in that tree. And it was disobedience. The tree of disobedience, we might say. Alright, turn with me to Romans 6. Am I alright? Are you alright? Am I alright? Everybody okay? Romans 6. Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your what kind of body? Oh, now, if we still have a mortal body, we're not to let sin reign in it. Right? Now, how can I let sin reign in my mortal body? How about considering myself still a sinner? I'm talking about before God in a confession. Do I confess to the Lord that I'm a sinner? How stupid could I get? He already knew that. Am I to confess to the Lord that I committed that sin? He already knew that. That's why He died for all our sins. What do I confess before Him? I confess to the Lord Jesus. I believe that He died for my sins. What do I confess to another man? Did you know the good news? Jesus Christ died for your sins. Folks, it seems real simple what the gospel is. You think of how many people miss it. The just the plain truth of it for finality. You see, if He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, we were crucified with Him, buried, and raised up new. We were quickened. And we're a new creature, not the old one. Then if I let sin reign in my mortal body, the body is saying, if I do this or I do that, God's going to be mad, He's going to get me. They ain't going to be nobody left. I'm telling you, man, He'll get everybody for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Well, you start digging Him up and carrying Him, strapping Him on there and say, let's go. You don't have to practice sin, do you? But what we're trying to do is separate the idea of this one unit having these three, but the addition of another. You've got to have this addition right here to have this life everlasting. For the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Your body is bought with a price. Therefore glorify Him with the fact that it is. That's trusting the fact, you bought me, Lord, I'm yours. You get it, folks? When Adam was created, God took him, made dust. He informed it in the body. And he cannot get up. He cannot do anything. He can't move. He can't say, Lord, could you give me longer legs? I want to play basketball. Give me longer fingers so I can palm the ball. Give me better eyesight. I want to fly an airplane. He ain't doing squat. He's laying there. And God says, He looked him over and He says, He's ready. Well, you know He did. He looked at him. He made him. And so, He breathed into him. Folks, my God, what do you do when you give the life-saving procedure? You breathe life into him. You breathe air into him. He breathed into him the breath of life. He gave him His Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. Turn to Ecclesiastes 12. Somebody's very unhappy tonight. Ecclesiastes. Most Bible classes, they'll go, where is that, Brother Gary? I said it's right before Song of Solomon. Oh, I know where that's at. Yeah, right. And I see him over in the index. It's page 690 if you need it. Ecclesiastes 12. And he can get him all around with him. He doesn't need to walk. He's a baby. All right, Ecclesiastes 12. Look with me in verse 7. Then shall the dust return to what? Are you there yet? Still thumbing? Ecclesiastes 12, right? Verse 7. Then shall the dust return to what? as it was. Okay? Watch, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Okay? Yes or no? What's missing? The soul's missing in that context. Oh, we have to learn something about the soul. There's a difference between it and the Spirit. Okay? Turn with me to Luke 23. That might be a good one, I guess. Luke 23. Well, we quoted a while ago. Let's read it now and see what the context is. In Luke 23, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I what? Command my spirit. Now that's the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? His Spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Correct? All right, turn with me to Genesis 35. And get James also. We'll go there in a minute. Genesis 35. Bless your soul, we'll find out what dying is. Okay? The Bible in Paul's writing says that we cry, we moan, and we groan, desiring, if we're saved, to depart from here and go be with the Lord, but not being naked. I don't know. We're going to James in a minute. Then I want you to understand. If this is taken away from you by physical death of Adam. Physical. Remember, you cannot change what this causes physically. Only the Lord can do that. There's a promise that He might. We which are alive and remain. Philippians 3, who shall change of our body, fashion it like unto His glorious body. Paul at one time thought that would happen to him. He said, we which are alive and remain should be caught up. They cannot be caught up unless their body is changed. So it was possible in Paul's writings for somebody that believed to have this physical thing here, which is vile, changed so that that body would contain the body and the soul and the spirit go up alive. Folks, he wrote it. I didn't. It's possible. They thought it from the first century to now because it's been written since the first century, so it could come at any moment. If God decided right now to take the believers out of here, He could change our vile bodies and fashion it like unto His glorious body. Okay? But if this body gives up and the Lord doesn't do that, if this body quits, it's because something leaves. Now watch. In Genesis 35, verse 16, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. She knows that she's in serious trouble. But she's trying to convince her, she's trying to help her, saying, the baby's going to make it. Okay? Now, the next verse is the key. And it came to pass as her what? What? Her soul was in departing, for she died. So what's death? Where does the spirit go? God said He brings it back to Him. So where would her soul go in the Old Testament? Abraham's bosom. What's that? Okay? So if her soul is in departing, it's going to leave this thing right here. This thing has just birthed the child. Physically, right? But the soul has to leave because the body can't take it any longer. It dies. The spirit went back to the Father. Was that what made her a living soul? Folks, this will not function without this, so that this is living. Am I missing you? It won't function. You are a three-type person. Body, soul, and spirit. If one of them leaves, you're had. Now, if those fail, this one is the failure, obviously, and you got that from Adam. If this one fails, and has it? If it has failed, let's say, because it's failed, this needs somewhere to go. This one has a word where it's going. It's going back to God. Now, this needs to be identified by that. Hello? What identifies your soul to God? Spirit of the dear son. Now, what does Satan not want in you? So how do I keep from keeping the spirit of the dear son in me? What was I shaping in? So, if I work in iniquity, the spirit of the dear son will not enter in. I'm not going far. You get this. While I'm working iniquity, the soul will not, the spirit of the son will not enter in. Well, the only way I'm working iniquity is my flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:8. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of the Son, he is not his. Alright? Did God make Jesus Christ a body? Did he say, Yah has prepared me a body? Did he come? Did he give himself for our sins? What made his body die? He gave up the Spirit. What made him give up the Spirit? The will of the Father. Right? What did the will of the Father want to do? He made him to be sin for us. And there's no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We won't be righteous. We are made righteous. God? Alright? As her soul was in departing, for she died. Correct? Let's look at another passage, James. In James chapter 2. I wonder what verse 26 says. What does verse 26 say, someone? Whereas the body without the spirit is dead. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the very next thing, he gave up the ghost. He died. Love me? He died. Where'd his soul go? Acts 2. In Acts chapter 2, we got evacuation. Evacuation. It's a salvation route. I hope you people are warm. I am dying. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. No, 23. Him being delivered by the determinate council. Matthew 16. Verse 21, 22, in that area, he begins to speak to Peter about this. From this time forth, he began to show how he would be suffered many things. The chief priest would be delivered up, crucified, and rise again the third day. Peter said, no! Okay? Verse 23, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands of crucified and slain, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible he should be holding of it. Well, it would have been a good place to preach the fact that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day there, wouldn't it? But that ain't what he's supposed to be preaching. Okay? 25, for David speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. One of the greatest passages that Paul writes to us as members of the body of Christ, while we're still in this physical body alive, while we still contain these three, yet we have this extra one and we're holding without blame in knowledge, is the fact that we are seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ. Don't ever be moved. Are you listening? Don't get moved. Don't let somebody move you like you're doing something down here that God's going to get you. And I guarantee you, you wouldn't be confessing sins at the right hand of the Father. You'll be saying glory and praises unto Him. And watch. 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad, more also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul where? Neither will I suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou hast made me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, by the way, if you are a miserable believer, you don't believe what's said. A miserable believer has a countenance with him that's trying to bear witness with you that you're a child of God, and it's telling you rejoice evermore. It's trying to tell you, you need not fear what a man can do to you, and you need not fear and worry. You can be in moderation, give your request unto the Lord, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. I see a lot of people who are believers just miserable, hateful, unforgiving. That is not the Spirit of the Lord. That is not controlling this with the mind. The mind can control the body. I've seen it in you. There are a lot of things you'd like to eat. That body's just dying to eat it, and you hold back. You might have had a little control over it. Use the Bible for mind control over the body. It worked. You can control certain things. I've told you many times, I never cussed in front of my mom and dad. I never did. Boy, I said, my goodness. But when I come in the house, I didn't. Then I stopped. Somebody said, how do you quit smoking? You stop! How do you quit drinking? You stop! What makes you stop? Your mind! What wants to go on? The body! Don't feed it and see what it'll do. Growls at you. Right? There are things that you want, and if you deny yourself of it, it hates you. Unless you know about it. Gives you a headache. Makes you sick. Makes you feel like a dog. You say, oh, well, I'm feeling like this. But you're denying me, you sucker. Well, people drink 5 or 6 cups of coffee a day. If you just take that coffee away from them one day, they'd probably kill over it. Seriously. They cannot function. They do not breathe regular until they get a cup of coffee. Same thing with cigarettes or anything else, folks. That's why people have, and for us to judge that, well, we probably got something just as bad. And somebody that judges, he done broke commandments written by Paul, because we're not to judge anybody. There's a judgment. Hey, if you don't think God can't take care of the judgment, there's a judgment coming for all men. It don't matter who they are. A different judgment, but it's coming. And He'll take care of it. Now, what judgment could I give that'd clean up your life? You know what's funny? It's like somebody trying to convince me that they're not a sinner. If you can't convince me that you're not a sinner, just think what you can't do to God. People all the time, I don't sin. I said, you're a liar. Oh. I said, but if you can't convince me, just think what you're going to do before the Lord to me. You're really going to have trouble convincing Him, right? All right, now watch. In verse 20, 8, thou hast made known to me the ways of life, thou art making me full of joy with thy countenance. Then I can relate to joy is that the countenance of the Lord is there. All right, if the Spirit of the dear Son is there, there's joy. Now you can quell it. And remember he said, quench not the Spirit. Quench it not. You know what you do with a campfire if you don't want it to burn? You put it out. Quench not the Spirit. Okay? Verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriot David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Poor old David got left. He's still there. It's after the cross, after the resurrection. He's still left. The only resurrected was Jesus. He is the resurrection. Now, wait a minute, now watch. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that what? Neither his flesh did see. 3 days he came up. He didn't rot. So what came up out of hell? So what's in the heart of the earth there? So, where'd your spirit go? Went to the Father. What's laying here on top? Now, what does it not have in it? It didn't have blood in it. It was drained at Calvary. It's amazing. You know that spearman went and did? He's already dead, but what did he do? He stuck him, and he bled out. He lost his blood, folks. He lost plenty of it while he was alive. That's why he was thirsty. That's why he was cold. That's why he was miserable. But then he went and stuck him, and water came out. And so when the body is laying there, there's no need for blood. It's dead. But when the Lord's soul came up and got the body, it became a spiritual body. You know what he could do? He could appear and reappear. He could hide from you by just looking at him, wouldn't know him. He could come into a locked room without opening the door. He could go to the Father in an instantaneous minute. I mean, good grief, folks. He went to the Father and came back in the same day. Now, why did it take Mars rover to get there? About 2 years? And that ain't even out of our solar system. That's just one of the planets out there beyond where God is. It's no one knows how far or what realm it's in or what the spiritual realm is like. But Jesus Christ went there and came back from the Father. And he was a spiritual body that could appear and reappear, could walk, could eat, could drink, and do a lot of things. But it still looked the same. Did it not? Could Thomas have put his finger in the hole? Yes or no? All right. That one in verse 31. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus, is there any doubt who he's talking about? Then whose soul is in hell? The Lord. All right, turn with me to, there's another passage, if I can find it. Look in, what was that other passage I had in mind? Romans, no, give me just a second. I got to find all these. I wrote them down. Turn over to Matthew 7. Maybe that's the one I'm looking for. I wrote a bunch of them down. I got to get them straight in my mind. Oh, yes, that's the one. All right, now, what did Jesus Christ, what was he not shaping in? God made his body just like he did Adam before Adam sinned. There was, Adam's body was not shaping in iniquity. It became iniquitous by disobedience. Right? Okay? Then everybody born of Adam is what? He's shaping iniquity, and sin was conceived in his mother's womb. All right. Now, in Luke 23, this is what I'm trying to present. I want people to see, understand this. If this shaping thing right here, that's iniquitous, is denied by the human, everything that this thing can do, if we crucify it, then we will have to walk as a new creature. Right? Now, if we're going to have to walk as a new creature, we would have to walk in His good works. For we're His workmanship, created in Christ. Not born. You're born, shaping in iniquity. You're not born again. That has to do with Israel. But you're a new creature. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. This has no possibility of good works. Why? There is none that doeth good, no, not one. When Christ died, He died for the ungodly, sinners, and enemies. Romans 5, 6, 8, and 10. So, as our physical body was shaping in iniquity, anything we do in that body is iniquitous. Now, I want you to understand this. The mystery of iniquity is serving the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. That's Romans chapter 1. But now watch. In Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So there was a time in the kingdom of heaven presentation before the cross that Jesus said that there'd be people trying to get into the kingdom of heaven by saying, Lord, Lord, and by doing something, but it wouldn't be in respect of what God said. Can you tell me what Jesus said the work of God is? Hold it just a minute. I'll come right back. Turn to John. Chapter 6. Now, I'm trying to relate something to you that's going to become very serious in our minds if we believe it. All right, in John chapter 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, before the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. The Father sealed the Son. He said, behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Alright, verse 28. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Right? Larry, read me Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. No, 11 and 12. And an emphasis on 12. Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. Now, we got a room full of Gentiles. Okay, read it. I apologize. I said 1, 2, 11. Well, that's a good verse. We could have went on with that, but... Alright.
Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision, you are clasped in the hand.
Go on.
At that time...
What time? Time past. What?
You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, no hope of God in the world.
Okay, now that's a serious problem. You don't have Christ. You don't have God. You don't have hope. You got no nothing. Right? Verse 13. Right now.
But now, Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ.
All right, now, would the devil know the difference in times? If I'm not mistaken, when some men tried to cast out some devils, they tried to do it, and the devil said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, who are you? Now, why did the devils know Paul? Why was it so emphatic they even said that? John 13:20 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever I send, you receive him, you receive me. If you receive me, you receive him that sent me. Acts 13, verse, what, 40-46, Paul said that he was the apostle of the Gentiles. Is that the right verse? Let me check. I don't want to misquote. That's one of them. No. Verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation the end of the earth. All right, in Acts 13, Romans 11, what am I being stupid? Romans 11, Paul said, I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Right? All right, then look with me in Acts 26, verse 17. Now, what was the work of God? Whom he has sent. I cannot believe on Jesus if I don't have him. Don't get it in your mind. Gentiles are very religious. They always have been, and that's why God didn't want his children marrying them. He said, don't you take their sons or their daughters, because they'll put you right into idolatry. Right? Well, if Gentiles were very religious then, guess what they are now? They're very religious, right? Well, in their religion, what is their religion? If it's the works of the hands, what are they shaping in? Then the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It is flesh worship. Okay? Acts 26, verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I what? To open their eyes. Alright, if Paul's message opens eyes, who can close them? The God of this world. In whom? In whom the God's world abides the demise of them which believe not? He said, if our gospel be hid. He didn't say if Peter's gospel be hid. He didn't say that Jehovah's Witness's gospel or the Church of Christ or the Baptist Church. He said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. The God of this world doesn't mind you knowing their gospels, because their gospels are based on Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and Paul said, we know Jesus Christ not after the flesh anymore. He knows him seated at the right hand of the Father, and he said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You with me? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, so that you first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As written, the just shall live by faith. Will he? How do you live? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I thank God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. He said that I am a pattern to them which hereafter should believe on him to life everlasting. To life, life everlasting. 2 Timothy, I'll shut up, it's getting hot and the babies are aggravated. And the mothers are getting worse. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Poor Timothy, fixing to get left alone. Okay? There was another verse that I was trying to remember, it's coming to them. He said, all souls belong unto me. Paul emphasizes this by the fact, know you not that you're bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body. Now I understand something. The reason with the world right now, the problem with the world is God bought them all. If you don't let the spirit of the dear son in, there's another spirit comes in, and according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you let that other spirit in, you've defiled the temple, and God will destroy you. Bang! Not life. What? Death. Death. Okay, now watch. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel. What did he just tell Timothy he's going to do in his life? He's going to partake of something that ain't going to be good in the body. What is it? The afflictions of what? The gospel, folks. Look around you. The growth and the good life that the preachers are living, that's not affliction. That's affection. Affliction is when the God's world clamps down on you and tries to shut your mouth. I told Wayne when we first started, I said, are you ready for this? Man, he has been fighting this thing and fighting this thing, and I'm about ready to kill it. Why? The God of this world don't want it on air. He don't want you to listen to something that where your eyes would be opened, for you to receive the truth and walk as a saved person, sealed and secure. I mean, hey, religious people, talk to them. Do they believe they're saved and sealed? It's written. And so you try to point out, did you know the good news? What's the good news? You can be forgiven, sealed, and secured in your mind by the truth is that you're already forgiven. Folks, you've got to be forgiven because of your stinking birth. You didn't get up, did you? Somebody said, I told them that my mother, the doctor slapped my mother, and they believed it for years. I finally corrected them. I said, no, he slapped my daddy. Folks, you come into the world without choice. And you, as hard as you try, and clean up your act all you want, you'll still die. It didn't change one thing from this to this. So God did. He let somebody else die for you. And then he raised him. And he offers you his spirit. If you take his spirit, he adds that right to you physically. And it's identifying mark. It's your redemptive power. And God cannot forsake you. Cannot leave you. Nor would he want to. Now watch. 2 Timothy 1. Verse 9. Who has saved us? You reckon Paul and Timothy were saved? And call with an holy calling? Folks, don't mess with it. There are preachers on TV that are messing with that calling. God's the one that calls, folks. I never asked to be a preacher. I didn't know why God would want me. And I have no idea why you'd walk in here except for the fact that the Spirit loves the Word. Now watch. He said, we're a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest, so we got before the world, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior. Did the Lord appear to Paul? Yes, he did, by the appearing of our Savior, who hath done what? What he abolished? Oh, my goodness. So if you hit the casket tonight, you better have it abolished in your mind. Now, I ain't going to hit it tonight. Dream on. There's no guarantee you even going to walk out of this room. You might have an aneurysm right now, as hot as it is in here. So you need in your mind that he abolished this death and took care of it, and the life everlasting is in Jesus Christ. You're forgiven. My three words to you are, you're forgiven. You are forgiven. Trust it. God seals you with the Spirit, and what you do from now on, you're forgiven. Should you do good or bad? Try to do good, because you'll be judged. Either good or bad works, but not sin. He doesn't judge sin any longer.